Last time that we were together on the pastor's study, we began to look at the last of the seven mysteries as found in the Bible. We've been doing a series of studies on the seven mysteries in the Bible. And we began last time and we asked the question, what is the mystery of the blindness of Israel? What is the mystery of the blindness of Israel? And of course, the answer to that question is, it is the partial blindness of Israel, the nation of Israel, during the church age to the fact that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and Savior. And we began, in Romans 11. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11, in verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Paul wrote, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And of course, we began to look at that mystery, the partial blindness of the nation of Israel to the fact that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and Savior. Now, we want to pick up and look at what's going to happen at the second coming. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is when, as it says in Romans 11, 26, "There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And of course, Jacob is another name for the nation of Israel. And then we read, God is going to make a new covenant with Israel, whereby all Israel shall be saved, as we see that in Romans 11, verse 26. Now, the covenant that's spoken about is found, let's look in Hebrews chapter 8, and we'll see the covenant that God is going to make a new covenant with Israel. And we have to turn to Hebrews chapter 8. And in Hebrews chapter 8, we want to read together verses 8 through 13 of chapter 8 of Hebrews. "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the new covenant." Here's a new covenant that he's going to make. God's going to make with Israel at the second coming. "For this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." And then again we see this new covenant also mentioned prophetically in the prophet Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, we have to turn to chapter 31 for a moment. In Jeremiah 31, we'll look at verses 31 through 34 together in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, we'll begin reading in verse number 31 of Jeremiah 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. At that time, that second coming, at the end of the tribulation, God will remove the blindness that is in Israel, and they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Messiah, and King. Let's look at some verses that speak about this in the Word of God. First, we'll turn to the book of Revelation. In Revelation 11, chapter 11, in verse 15, Revelation 11, 15, we read, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So we see at the second coming, Lord Jesus Christ will return, and he will be Israel's Savior, Messiah, and King. All the kingdoms will become our Lord's, amen, and he shall reign forever and ever. Look at also, while we're in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 with me, chapter 19, in verse 16, Revelations 19:16, we read, as gives an account of the Lord returning, John, the Apostle John, looks up and he sees heaven open, sees a prophetic vision here, and he writes it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sees the Lord's return, and he hath on his vesture. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns with his armies from heaven, the saints of God, the church. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There'll be no doubt, amen, who the king will be, amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 1, beginning in verse 30. We have a great promise here to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So the angel tells Mary to fear not, because she's going to give birth, amen, to the king. Amen. He'll be over the house of Jacob forever and ever. He'll reign forever and ever. Amen. He'll reign on the throne of David. Amen. Praise the Lord. He'll be the nation of Israel's Savior, Messiah, and King. And then, of course, we have that great passage in Isaiah chapter 9 that many of you are probably familiar with. Isaiah chapter 9. Some of you may know where I'm headed for already. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verses 6 and 7, often you hear these verses quoted, amen, around the Christmas holiday. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is in a reference to Jesus Christ, of course. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, here we have Isaiah prophesying of the birth of Christ and how he'll be Messiah and King over the nation of Israel. Amen. And then in the we have a prophetic psalm, Psalm 24. If you'll turn there with me. Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, beginning in verse number 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, and they seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Before we go on, wherever you see that word Selah, amen, you can rest assured that the second coming is in the context. Let's read on. Lift up your hands, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Reference to Jesus Christ. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty? The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. So here again we have a reference to the King of glory, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the King of Israel. Amen. He'll be Israel, the nation of Israel's King. Amen. And then, of course, look it in the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah with me. And in Zechariah chapter 14, notice what the Word of God says in Zechariah chapter 14, in verses 9, 10, and 11. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Again, this is prophetic. In that day, referring to the second coming, when the Lord returns at the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimnon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate under the place of the first gate, under the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Amen to that. Then let's look at one last place here in Jeremiah. Again, we're looking at verses that show where the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King, the Messiah and Savior of the nation of Israel at his second coming. Jeremiah chapter 30 with me, and verses 10 and 11. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. A regathering of Israel is spoken about here. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Amen. So we see a regathering, amen, of the nation of Israel. See, right now, present tense, all Israel is not saved. However, when the Lord returns, they will be. There are numerous references in the Old Testament to this truth. We're going to just look at a few of them right now, as time permits. Again, Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Then in verse 36 of Jeremiah 31, If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me from forever. Amen. So he says, notice what he says here. If those ordinances depart from me, from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me. Amen. And of course, we see in verse 35 the ordinances that he's speaking about. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the seas when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. So he's saying, if the sunlight leaves, there's no longer sunlight during the day and moonlight at night, then Israel will cease from being a nation. And we know that's not going to happen. That's what he's saying. Israel will be a nation, will always be a nation. Amen? In fact, he says, since the sun and moon are still in the sky, you can be sure that God is not through with Israel. That's what he was saying in those passages that we just read. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse number 6, we read, In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Amen. And of course it mentions Judah and Israel because we know that under Solomon's son Rehoboam, the nation of Israel was divided. He had the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, and the northern kingdom of Israel that comprised of the other 10 tribes. But we see all of Israel is going to be saved. Amen. When the Lord returns. Look in Isaiah chapter 45 with me. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 17. Isaiah 45 and verse 17. We read, it says, But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed or confounded, world without end. God's not through with Israel. See, some of the heretics, amen, the false teachers out there, say that God's all through with Israel, amen. And that the promises that he gave to Israel were the church is going to get them. But that's not true. As we go through these verses, we see that right now, Israel is blind for a time to the fact that Jesus Christ was their Messiah and Savior. But there's going to come a time very soon. Church is going to be raptured out. The tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, a portion of the nation of Israel will be saved. All of Israel will be saved. Amen. Jesus Christ will be their Savior, Messiah, and King. Look in Ezekiel chapter 11 with me. Ezekiel chapter 11 in verses 19 and 20. Again, we're looking at verses that show that all of Israel will be saved at the second coming. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. I will give them, he says, one heart. He's speaking about the nation of Israel. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Speaking to Israel, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, that heart of unbelief, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's what God has promised to the nation of Israel in the future at his second coming. And then we look in the prophet Hosea. Hosea the prophet. Look with me in Hosea the prophet. And we want to look at chapter 14, beginning in verse 4. Speaking to Israel now, prophetically, he says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow will return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And who shall understand these things? Prudent, he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So we see then that God's going to heal Israel's backsliding. They're going to turn to him. They will no longer serve idols. Amen. That day is coming soon, my friend, very soon, when the Lord returns. Now, look in Ezekiel. We're still looking at some verses, many more verses than these that they're looking at to show that Israel, all of Israel, will be saved, amen, at the second coming. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 60, we read in the Word of God, Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. And of course, we saw that new covenant that he's going to make with Israel. It's an everlasting covenant. It can't be broken. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28, in verses 25 and 26. Thus saith the Lord, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence, when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them around about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, amen. All of Israel is going to be saved. The Lord will be their God, amen. He's going to take care of them. They're going to prosper, amen. He's going to sanctify them, amen. And he's going to destroy their enemies. This is all going to take place, my friends, at the Lord's second coming. Let's look in just for a moment, Ezekiel chapter 34, and beginning in verse 22 of Ezekiel 24, therefore will I save my flock. And of course, his flock is referring to here as Israel, nation of Israel, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And of course, their shepherd, nation of Israel's shepherd, is going to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. Not only will he destroy their enemies, but he's going to take any beasts in the land, take them away too. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods, and I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing, and I will cause a shower to come down in his seasons. There shall be showers of blessing. Amen. And I'm sure that's where we get our hymn from, showers of blessings. Amen. Showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield a fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and deliver them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up from them, for them a plan of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, even with them, that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. Ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture, are my men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. So God's promised protection, prosperity, amen, because he's going to be their God, amen, and they're going to be obedient to him and follow him. So we ask the question, what will God do with a Jew in the church age that rejects Jesus Christ as a Savior? Well, he'll do with him what he did with the Jew that we read about, that Jew, the rich man that died, amen, in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. That rich man died, and he went to hell. That's exactly where an unsaved Jew will go today. See, the salvation of Israel does not pertain to individual Jews in the church age who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. The salvation of Israel pertains to the remnant that remains when the Lord returns, and to their offspring. So if you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, be a Jew or Gentile, as your Savior, you're not saved. If you're not saved, he will save you, if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, in chapter 10, my friend, this is what the Word of God has to say. And if you'll only be obedient to the Word, you'll be saved. Romans 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Thank God that Jesus Christ will save anyone who will come to him by faith, Jew or Gentile. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation. Amen. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My friend, will you trust him today to save you? Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study.